Hey, if you're a pastor or a local church leader, did you know that thousands of people in your community are searching for a church just like yours every single day? What if I told you that you might be missing out on the full spectrum of opportunities because of not investing in the right places in digital marketing? I think churches are often comfortable with things like social media, but they underestimate the power of Google Ads, SEO, and other digital marketing channels. Today, I'm joined by Chandler Boyce. He is the owner of Business Co-op, and he works specifically with churches and other businesses and brands with their digital marketing across websites, SEO, and paid advertising. We dive into some of the things that churches might resist and what they can actually learn from even people like a landscaping company in their own neighborhood. I think you're going to get a ton of value out of the conversation today, so let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Making Varsity. My name is Brad Chandler, and special guest today, my dear friend, Chandler Boyce. Chandler, welcome to the show.
Man, glad to be here. Yeah, you got Chandler Boyce and Brad Chandler. It's just the CBC show.
It's a lot of Chandler going on. Just making candles in the back, you know, in case you didn't know Chandler means candle maker. Absolutely, man, we go way back, Chandler. We used to run in some of the same youth ministry circles, and we have very similar paths, very similar stories, and now we are working in marketing, working in the marketplace. So give us just a little bit of a snapshot of your journey, and then we want to jump into the conversation today. Just around paid advertising, but would love to just get a little bit of a origin story of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually went to college. My degree was in marketing, which means absolutely nothing because back then and where we are now has been leaps and bounds. But I've always been interested in business. My dad was a business owner, owned his own business. And so that was always, you know, part of the play. And so graduated, and that was what, 2009. So there was a wonderful little recession going on, and so I was trying to figure out what to do, and ended up getting into ministry. Felt like God just called me to serve, and there's a longer story to that, and how I got involved in the summer camp Youth America that I led for almost a decade, and that's where I met my wife, and we transitioned. And even during those times, I was, for whatever reason, always the one that was drawn to, you know, the website and social media. And, you know, I had some sales jobs. You know, obviously, I'm a people person, so I love that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And so that was always a natural bend. And then, I transitioned out of Youth America. Okay. Worked at church for about a year, and then got the opportunity to work with a good friend at his agency. And through that experience, I thought I knew a lot about marketing, but once I actually got into an agency, I realized I knew very little about marketing.
Wow.
And so that year, having hands-on, getting into the, you know, diving into the deep end.
Sure.
Man, it opened up my eyes to the opportunities and the strategies and what's out there. And then I started my own company in November of 22. And then I would say even in the last 3 years, just even more stuff and more realizations and opportunities, and even,
right,
you know, reconnecting with guys like you who have a specialty and have way more knowledge on, you know, certain things. So it's really cool to be a part and see what I've learned and what is still out there. Like you think you know until you realize you don't know, and you talk to someone else and you're like, okay, yeah, I've got a lot more to go. So
100%. Well, I'd love to know, what were some of those misconceptions that maybe you had, where, because I think I experienced the same thing stepping into the marketplace, where it's like, I thought I knew what marketing was, and then stepping into it, there's all these different elements. It's almost like a chef saying, yeah, I'm good at cooking food, but it's like, what kind of cuisine are we talking about here? Because marketing is so vast. And I think sometimes, at least maybe from my own limited perspective, and maybe that's my own fault, what were some of those misconceptions that when you stepped into that agency world that maybe I thought I knew what marketing was, but wow, I learned this, this, and this.
Yeah, I think at a baseline, I understood that a key component of great marketing is great communication. It was making sure that you understood the problems that your said target market to the people that you're trying to reach had, and then how can we solve them? How can we help them? How can we serve them? Et cetera, et cetera. I think that's a small piece of it. That is obviously important because, you know, when you get into certain different parts of marketing, digital marketing, whether it's advertising and, you know, podcasting, social media, I think at the core, great marketing starts with knowing your why, knowing the problems you're solving. But that's like step A into the world of opportunities that can be utilized. And I mean, there's so much. And I feel like every day, and I think that's a tough thing about marketing, digital marketing, advertising, promotion. Man, I think it's one of the fastest moving industries outside of maybe like AI right now.
Sure.
It's just constantly changing the tactics and the rhythms and, you know, the hooks and all of that, you know, can change, and it does change very fast. I mean, you know, I would say since I got out of college in 2008, 2009, I mean, it's almost a different, completely different landscape than it was, you know, 15 years ago.
So I know that you, in your business, you work with a lot of service-based businesses as well, but a lot of your roster is working with churches, and a lot of that just kind of flows from your heart and your experience. What are some of the things that maybe you learned from agency world now stepping into your own consultancy? And then maybe some of the best practices that, I don't know, think of a service business that's just really crushing it for you right now. Maybe it's a landscaping company, maybe it's an electrician, plumber, or whatever. And what are some of those local service businesses, what are some of the tips and tactics that you're learning from them that you're then taking over to churches going, hey, you should really consider this? Because I think that's one thing that's important for churches to realize is that they are first and foremost local services. You know, we even call the weekend experiences services, right? And I think sometimes that can get lost in a social media world where we're trying to like make a sermon clip go viral or something of that nature. And so I'd love to just explore a little bit of that connection of how do you almost walk a leader or walk a pastor through thinking of their church as a local service business, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I'll say this, there are definitely similarities. Obviously, there are limits to whether it's a business or church on resources, budgets.
Sure.
You know, your team. So there, your margin, you know, depending on your margins, there are things that you can and can't do. One, you gotta know your why. You gotta know why you do things. What's greater than just whether it's a church holding church services or it's a business providing a service. Why are you, what's your unique why? And I think the more that you can, that why is specific and personal. And it's, I mean, I think even for me as a business owner, I've had to mull through and wrestle with that. But I, at the same time, once you get your why, I also think you gotta put the people in mind, like who are you trying to reach? What problems do they solve, and then how can you solve that problem? And I think specifically like with churches, we understand that people are people, and we got to have that connection. You got to have that word of mouth. But at the same time, where we live now is everyone is going to the same place, whether they're looking for the answer or insight on scriptures or prayer, or they're looking for a plumber, or they're looking for a church. The stats strongly show and prove that people are going to some kind of search platform, which mainly Google and then YouTube. And then you kind of have your other platforms, which interestingly enough, Reddit has become probably one of the biggest gainer of people searching over the last few years for questions, answers, insights, connections, which it's a community platform. That's why people like it, because they can go and search or ask a question and not.
Yeah, they're getting the real. It's not, they're not just getting a sponsored whatever.
Or looking at a company or something that has reviews, which reviews can be manipulated to make look better than maybe it really is. Mm-hmm. But I think the simple truth is you gotta know where the most people are at, and then you gotta know who you're reaching and figure out which platforms they're at. And then the truth is the more, I would say, the more consistent we can be across more platforms gives us the opportunity to serve, communicate, and reach more people at whatever level and whatever business industry that we're at. We got to meet people where they're at, which is complicated. However, it's easier than ever before, because I mean, if you think about 15, 20 years ago, it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to go knock on doors. You got to go to, you know, where trying to find places where thousands of people are at was not always easy. Well, now it's definitely not easy, but you definitely have more people in one place or places than have ever been probably in the history of the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're having those conversations with churches, leaders, the decision makers, so to speak, maybe in a communications department, a larger church, what would you say are some of the barriers or maybe the resistance points to digital marketing as a whole, and especially as it relates to paid advertising? Because that's really where, you know, I think among other specialties, that's one of the things I think that you really understand in a deeper way is the power of Google Ads, the power of search, the power of SEO, how your website ties into all of that. And I loved it. You posted this meme. It must have been like 6 months ago, and it was like this video of like slicing fruit and like slicing like bread, but it was like super razor thin, and it was like pastors setting aside budget for marketing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel attacked, but I'm also laughing at the same time, you know. And so I'd love to know just what are some of those resistance points that you've noticed kind of throughout this journey of working with churches?
And I have to be careful. I am at heart a little bit of a skeptic and a cynic, so I know I come across that way, and so I have to preface it with some people, because I'm like, listen, you gotta take me a little bit with a light heart, because I'm also just trying to, you know, I'm trying to get people's attention. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part it is a mindset, because I see this tension not just with pastors or church leaders, but also because I've also had people like ourselves who were in full-time ministry and have either stepped out, or they've got a side hustle or a side project or a side business, and also work with, you know, non-church, you know, companies, service-based businesses, that it really is a mindset. It's a mindset of, you know, and I think it has to do with like risk, it has to do with just how you're wired and what you're willing to do and try. Because mm-hmm. I can get on a call with somebody, whether it's a senior pastor or a business owner, and usually within the first 5 or 10 minutes, I can gauge pretty quickly like where they're at and what the likelihood of, you know, where they want to go based on how they communicate, where they've been, have they tried a bunch of stuff, or are they pretty like, you know, cause here's the deal. It's like, I've talked to churches that are, you know, church plants, and they're spending, you know, they're willing to do anything and spend whatever. And I've also talked to to pastors who are quote unquote mega churches. And it's like, oh, we don't have the budget for that. And it's like, mm-hmm. how do we get completely two different answers?
Yeah.
From different budgets inside. But so for me, I've come to the conclusion as of now,
yeah,
that it really has to do more with the people at the top than it does
sure.
the industry, even the budget. Because even when you look at stats, if anyone's, you know, listening and you're getting into or you like the marketing conversations, someone you need to follow is a guy named Neil Patel. He is,
yeah,
in my mind, kind of our generation's digital marketing guru. And he does a lot of studies and insights, mm-hmm. but they've been releasing a bunch of studies from last year. But it's interesting, even within the whole of digital marketing across many industries, when you look at the amount of businesses that actually have like a multi-stack marketing strategy, whether that's ads, SEO, email camp, I want to say it was like 30% of total businesses actually are like, okay, we're thinking about SEO, we're thinking about organic social media, we're thinking about paid advertising. So overall, for me, the stats are coming back, in my opinion, to it's really about the people at top and their willingness to
yeah.
take risks and do whatever it takes
sure.
to get to the next level.
I think you're 100% right. I think that risk tolerance is probably the biggest resistance point. And I mean, so let's talk kind of across the board. I mean, just to sort of for low-hanging fruit, or for lack of better words, just low-risk things that churches, and then this also translates to local service businesses, can do right now that may even be free, right? Like, before we get into paid advertising, because I think that's the fear, right? I don't want to waste a bunch of money on paid advertising mm-hmm. and it not drive leads, it not drive new visitors to my church, it not drive, like, I'm nervous yep. about wasting that. And especially, I think in a church mindset, it's like, being a good steward of God's finances, mm-hmm. right? People's hard-earned money and generosity. Like, and so am I just going to kind of, you know, set fire to $5,000 a month on paid advertising and not see the return on that mm-hmm. investment? So like, what are some of those low risk things that can be done right now? Like say a church has, you know, the basics, they've got their website in place, you know, but is it search optimization? Is it SEO? Is it blogs? Like maybe kind of define some terms for us just to sort of set those tent poles in place before we would think about something like paid yeah. advertising.
It's all going to cost you something, whether it's time, some energy, finding someone that can take care of this for you. But the easiest thing to do, and I've talked about this 1,000 times and yet so many people don't do it, is your Google Business Profile, especially if you're a service-based business or a church. Your Google profile, as well as your Apple Business Profile and your Yelp, if you ask me what's something that I can do, I can spend 10 to 15 minutes a week on, maybe less, a week on, that is going to drive awareness and traffic to, you know, to my website, to my company, to my church. It's going to be those free listings. And you're going to hear word, which I can't stand this word, but it's everybody uses it, but you hear the word optimized. Basically what that means is to play the game. Google wants to see you do certain things. And when you do those things, you get rewarded. So like, posting updates on your Google Business Profile, and people are like, "Well, I didn't know you could do that." Well, yeah, and basically whatever you post on Facebook and Instagram, just literally copy and paste over there. Asking people for reviews, making sure your profile is completely filled out. It's as simple as it sounds. Like, there's not many yeah. things in this world that I would say are like, I can make a lot of things sound simple, but it's they're really not that simple. This is really simple. Like, you can sit down and do this every week, every other week. It'll maybe take you 10 minutes
yeah.
to go through and upload some photos. So I think that's little money. I think what, in my experience, where you do need to spend some money is on a website. I think, especially in the church world, there's so many of these companies that are like, "Oh, free website, free website." We all know that most of the time, if something is free, you're paying for what you get.
Yeah.
So you got to ask yourself, why is it free? And if you're a small church in the middle of nowhere and you got 75, 110 people and you are running on a shoestring budget, absolutely understand. Totally get it. However, if you're in a major metropolitan area or, you know, even a city town that's, you know, 100, 150,000 plus and, you know, you've got a healthy budget and like even as a company, your website is your number one most important staff member, because that website does not sleep. It does not take holidays. It does not take time off. And so investing into your website is one of the most important things that you can do and need to do. And then outside of your profile. And obviously there's some technical stuff that you can definitely do on your website that in my mind, it's easy, but if you don't have any technical skills, it's probably going to sound like I'm speaking a different language. But
sure,
you know, when you get into the back end of you know your header tags and some of your meta descriptions,
which,
I mean, if you just Google it, you know, if whatever platform you're on and you just Google, you know, WordPress, Squarespace, Wix, whatever, and how to do that, it'll probably take you just as long to find a good video than it does actually to do the work.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you're right. I think websites are, you know, really the foundation of, you know, all the other marketing that kind of wraps around it, because it drives to that website. That's an owned channel, you know, beyond, you know, just social media. And I think, you know, one of the things too, I'm actually curious, just kind of, again, speaking from the church side of things, I may have been guilty of putting this on a church website or two, back in 2014. It felt like for a long time, every church headline banner said something to this nature: "Welcome home." I'd love for you to talk about, like, is that a compelling headline for a church website? And if not, why not? And what would be a better one?
It's a compelling headline for an apartment complex, because the only other time I see that on like any kind of marketing is literally a apartment complex.
Sure.
And again, caveat, I think it happens in other industries. I will say within the church world, we tend to idolize. And when there's a certain church or churches that are doing well, that we tend to just adopt whatever they're doing, like, oh, if that's working for them, that can work for us, without actually thinking through, well, does this make sense for us in our context and how we talk? I think I'm all for copying. I'm all like, I think originality is overrated.
Yeah.
If you are someone that can become, that is good at origin and creating new things, awesome. I am not. However, I think you have to sit down with certain statements in language and wrestle with them. Over the 3 years of my business, I am constantly wrestling with how I communicate what I do and what my business does and what are our values, what do we stand for, and what, you know, like I'm constantly, like probably once a month, I'm in ChatGPT having a conversation with someone, trying to, okay, how can I say this better? How can I communicate where people understand what I'm doing? And I think sometimes churches just, we copy and paste. It's like, you know, and, or we, someone says like, yeah, you can use our stuff. And then we just go, okay, great. Copy paste without, okay, let's wrestle with this a little bit. But again, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, businesses that when it's like, we're the number one tree trimming service and blah blah blah, and it's like
who did this ranking? Yeah,
I think most successful companies, not all, at some point you got to sit down and really think through your differentiator of the services that you offer, and how you're setting yourself apart.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, it makes it more clear, not just to the people at the top, but everyone else on the organization on how do we communicate.
What if I told you that your voice could be the most powerful asset in your business? And what better way to use your voice than starting a podcast? In fact, a comprehensive podcast strategy could be the missing link in your business's marketing mix. But how do you get started, and how do you make sure that it actually works? That's where my team at Made by Varsity can help. Made by Varsity is a full-service podcast agency that helps brands and entrepreneurs establish trust, build connections, and grow their business. So whether you need coaching and consulting to get set up, or you need turnkey solutions to manage and market your show from week to week, we've got you covered. Just head over to madebyvarsity.com and book a call with me today. All right, back to the episode. One of the things I think I heard you tell me one time is that one of the most visited pages on a church website is actually the staff page. Why is that?
As Homo sapiens, we are drawn, we are attracted to people like us. And the reality is, especially for churches, if someone doesn't have a connection at a church, they are looking for a church that not only align with theologically or philosophically, but also do they see people like them in the photos, in the videos? So that's why when you kind of look at the average process of someone looking for a church, it's Google profile. They're going to look at your photos. They're going to go to your website. They're going to look around. They're going to look at your staff. They're going to watch your live stream. And then probably 4 or 5 weeks later, they may come. They're looking for that, like, okay, do I see people like me here? And honestly, they're thinking, am I going to be accepted?
You know, I think about, you know, churches really as a whole, at least in my experience, there tends to be more emphasis on social media. And, you know, a lot of what we're talking about, Google My Business, website, things like SEO, you know, optimization, like sometimes I think there may be somebody listening to this like, okay, now we're in kind of like nerd land. We're in like nerd territory. You know, what would you say to someone who goes, well, I'll just hire an intern to do the marketing. Like, you know, there's a 19-year-old. Yeah, they're good with social media. Like, what would be the advantage of, you know, bringing in a consultant or an agency to really kind of speak to the larger marketing stack for a church? And again, assuming that there's some level of budget there where they can make some of those decisions. Like, what would be the advantage of doing that versus what I think in my experience, sometimes can be a little bit, and service-based businesses the same way, a little bit of like a DIY mindset of like, hey, I'm sharp, I'm smart, like I can figure it out on my own, you know? What would be the advantage of kind of bringing in some professional eyes to kind of help with that whole marketing stack?
I think for churches, it's actually easier because you have the options of volunteers. I think as a business owner, it's tougher because you either got to do it yourself or you got to pay somebody to do it.
Yeah.
You know, within the church, the hardest thing is to lead volunteers. However, you have the opportunity to lead volunteers where really in nowhere else in normal business can you really, I can't go and get volunteers to help serve on my business. My encouragement to pastors would be identify the people that are interested in those things and then equip them and invest in them. If you can't hire someone to come in and guide you and show you, you know, invest in a staff person or someone who is young, giving them the right tools or the right relationships. But I would say it's worth the time and money to find someone that can come in and sit down with your team over, you know, whether it's a couple days, a couple weeks, or even a couple months or whatever program, you know, and there's some great programs out there and great resources. What you sow will grow. So
yeah,
if you're wanting to grow in these areas, you're going to have to sow something into them, whether it's time, resources, people, it's all the same principle. So I very rarely run into, even at a mega church, and they have a quote unquote marketing director that they may know a good part of something, whether it's social media, but they don't have a full grasp of you know, when it comes to YouTube, live streaming, social media, ads, SEO, website, and I don't expect them to, because I'm kind of a unique freak of a person, because I was, you know, I've done all these, God has just exposed me and done all these things through different, you know, revenue, you know, avenues and relationships and opportunities. But even me, I don't know everything. I mean, it's like meeting you and, you know, I'm telling Brad about stuff that I've learned about podcasts. He's like, yeah, of course. Like, duh. And I'm like, well, I didn't know that. So like you, whatever it is, you've got to have or find people that know more than you. If you're going to take that area, whether it's your preaching, whether it's your marketing, your finances, you know, like your sales, you've always got to have either, you know, if you're going to go to the next level, you're investing either time, money, resources into those things. Sure. If you're wanting to grow.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, some of the service-based businesses we in brands that we love to work with the most, Chandler, are sometimes those like blue collar brands. And I think it's important that churches never underestimate that very successful electrician in your church, or don't underestimate that person that owns that landscaping company that you know you see their trucks wrapped everywhere. I mean, those dudes are some smart, savvy business owners. And I think, when was the last time I think we took one of those guys out to dinner and says, hey, teach me what you know, like, to humble yourself on that type of thing. I mean, does that make sense?
Absolutely. I have more respect as someone who sits inside all day and you know, types on a keyboard and is on the phone, you know, the guys, you know, guys that are out there just grinding and driving around and in the, you know, in the heat or the cold, or actually doing hard work.
Yeah.
It's, I have more respect for them now than I ever have, because I get to work with those guys and I know how hard they work, but I also know that what's cool for me is that the passion they have to serve people in a service, you know, in a service that's maybe not sexy or cool or social media worthy, but they're committed to providing service. I've definitely, my perspective has changed when it comes to that. My hands are too soft. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Okay. So we've kind of explored, you know, really the foundation of, you know, whether it's, you know, your website, your SEO, really your overall messaging. I have kind of a cursory understanding of Google Ads, but as someone who's brand new to it, what moves the needle on Google Ads the most? Is it the messaging, like making sure that the wording is right? Is it just the ad spend, like, hey, go all in, that there's kind of an apples to apples approach, like, hey, the more you pour into this, the more you get out? Or is it something like retargeting? I mean, and you may need to define some of these terms, but for someone brand new to it, what should they know about what moves the needle the most?
That is a fantastic question. I would say I've learned and know enough and experienced. Yes, copywriting does make a difference, because if you are in a competitive industry where you have multiple competitors running ads, if your copy is catchier, punchier, you know, it stands out, you're going to catch people's attention, especially if you're, you know, you're running within Google, there's different types of campaign. So you can run a campaign that you can put a video on and you can put photos and graphics on. So those things do matter, maybe not as much as they do on like Meta or TikTok. I think what people don't understand is you got to play the long game. You have to be willing to experiment, and the amount of ad spend does matter, because, and it all depends on the industry and the how much keywords cost and how many, like, how competitive is that space, and what is Google telling us that's going to cost to get a click? I would encourage people to either, if you're going to do it yourself, take the time, educate yourself, find a professional, and be willing to play the long game with ads. And you're not right away going to see, it may take you 3 or 4 or 5 months to see a return on your investment. Mm-hmm. But look at the facts. If in most business industries, it's normal to spend 5 to 10% of your budget, but I promise you, if you look in your industry, the most successful companies or businesses, they are spending money somewhere. And so you got to, it's a long game type thing. So if you're going to jump in, man, give it a year. And it's like any relationship, you got to work through it. You got to try things and different campaigns and different keywords. And then even the number of ad spend too, because it's like, for instance, I have a landscape architecture company I'm working with, and we've kind of been like $500. It was $500 a month, then $750 a month. And then it was $1,000 a month. And we'd get some phone calls, whatever. But then in January, we bumped it up to $2,000 a month. And it's like the floodgates open, and he's been having phone calls. He's had he's, you know, in the middle of like two massive, and when I mean massive, I mean very large projects. But depending on the industry, you almost have to find that line of, you know, of where Google's like, they're going to open up the floodgates for you. But again, my encouragement is, man, start small, play the long game, and keep chipping away at it, and then keep adding. You know, it's like, start with your website, start running some ads, get SEO going. And then it's just, you just got to start building on all these things over time. And I promise you, what you sow will grow. And eventually you're going to start seeing the leads roll in, and you're going to start seeing things working. And then you just keep it going.
Love it. Chandler, man, thank you so much. And final thoughts, just man, grateful to have you on the show. Grateful to be in conversations on the regular. Again, we're kind of, you know, all things being transparent, working on a couple of projects together, which is super fun. It's just, it's been super cool. I think that we, I think maybe a lot of times when people expect someone to sort of transition from ministry to the marketplace, they might expect someone to maybe have a, like you said, maybe a heart of cynicism, or maybe some jadedness. And I'm grateful to just be in a relationship with somebody like you, who still loves the Lord, who still loves the local church, who is still like crushing it in the marketplace in a big way. And, man, it's awesome to know you, and, grateful for you. So, man, any final thoughts?
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I'm excited for this year. I'm glad God reconnected us, and I would say, anybody listening, if you are wondering and looking into trying to figure out, like myself, how to start, scale, and create a podcast, Brad is your guy. And I would say personally, and this isn't a pitch that we've talked about, but I've had starting a podcast on my to-do list for 2 or 3 years, and just haven't gotten over the line. I've learned a lot. And then all of a sudden, you know, Brad and I reconnect, and I'm, you know, and every time I talk to him about something, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, didn't know that. So, I'm excited for you, and excited for what we're going to be able to do together. And if you are listening, man, there are so many great opportunities for podcasts with content and social media and everything in between. So, make sure you hit up Brad, give him your business, give him a shout, schedule a call, and I look forward to the next conversation.
I appreciate that, Chandler. I didn't pay him to say that yet, but you know, it's appreciate the
sign. I'm excited to get my project started. Yeah, so I want to encourage other people to, man, pull the trigger and make it happen.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you tell us how we can reach out to you, Chandler. How can we work with you? You know, where can we contact you? We'll make sure to put all the links into the descriptions. But man, who would be kind of an ideal person that could work with you?
If you are, you know, you're with a really, I mean, I do a lot of, I mean, with whether it's within digital marketing, websites, paid ads, SEO, churches, organizations that offer products and services to churches, or if you're just a kingdom-minded business owner and you're like, hey, I want to grow and scale my business, I'm on Instagram at Chandler D. Boyce, or you can go to businesscoop.co. Brad, he'll put the link because it's a little weird, and I am recurrently doing my website right now, so we are in the process of redoing that. But yeah. If anybody has any questions, just let me know.
Love it. Awesome. Chandler, thanks so much for joining us, bro.
Dude, love you, man. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon. Hey, fam. Thanks so much for joining us on Making Varsity. If you enjoyed this week's content, make sure to tap that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. For more resources, check out the show notes below or join me on YouTube. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time.